What's going on, everybody?
Yo, yo, yo.
Episode 13 of Read Between the Lines. I'm your boy, Daniel.
And this is your boy, Q.
All right. We're once again here giving you guys the latest on what's going on. You might want to bring that just a little bit because I couldn't hear you very good.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, that's better. But yeah, man, how you been, Mr. Q?
I've been pretty good. Busy, but pretty good.
Yeah.
What about yourself?
Good, man. As I was telling you off camera, just came back from a trip to Florida, visit my wife's grandparents. It was nice.
That's nice. Went How was the weather?
It's hot.
Hot, yeah.
It's hot. Went down to the beach for a little bit, and yeah, it was pretty chill otherwise.
That's good. I guess you didn't get no tan.
Yeah, I got a little dark.
Oh.
I don't look like it?
No.
Yeah, I got a little burnt, but not too bad. So it's been about a couple of weeks since we've been able to record. I took a little hiatus last week because obviously I was gone down, to Florida or whatnot. But I feel like a lot has been going on, man, you know, trying to keep up with everything that's been happening. Let's see. Two weeks ago, I think we were talking about the whole Trump situation, the assassination.
Correct.
And I think that same weekend, Joe Biden decided to come off the ticket. And nobody really knew what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, you know, Kamala Harris, the vice president, you know, just became the presumptive nominee, or essentially the nominee from the Democratic Party. And there's been a lot of going back and forth about her and her competency and, you know, the fact that, she's just, like, they just kind of put her there. No one really voted on nobody else. But anyway, so one of the things that was kind of got everyone talking about last week was a fundraiser, or not really a fundraiser, but a rally she did in Atlanta. And what was interesting was that, you know, she brought on Meg Thee Stallion, I believe Quavo as well. I don't know that Quavo performed, but Meg Thee Stallion did perform. And so when you saw the performance and, you know, that whole situation, what was your take on that?
I wish she would have chose a different song. To me, I felt like it was just, I don't think the crowd really warmed up to her.
To who?
To Meg Thee Stallion.
Okay.
It just seemed like it was off to me. Okay. Like, you know, I mean, she, and you know, Meg Thee Stallion is going to be Meg Thee Stallion, which that's probably why they got Meg Thee Stallion. But I wish she would have picked somebody else, maybe.
You mean like a different artist?
Yeah.
But, like, Well, I feel like whenever I saw the video, I just thought it was kind of cringe, to be honest with you. Because here we are, you know, we're supposed to be taking Kamala Harris serious.
Right. That's my whole point.
As a potential, you know, president.
Of the United States.
Of the United States of America. And of all people, you got Meg Thee Stallion, which she's great. She's a great performer. Yeah. And, you know, I think that kind of performance, whatever, that could have been done at her show or, you know, whatever. But at a presidential rally, exactly. I just thought it was kind of, you know, it just seemed very out of place. Yeah. And if I was, you know, a Democrat or supporting her going to that rally, and I brought my kids, and then I saw them, I'd be like, what? Like, what are we doing here?
I felt like a better pick would have been Fantasia than Meg Thee Stallion, because I feel like Fantasia is very respectful. She's an empowering woman. I mean, she loves everybody, and she doesn't do all that crazy dancing. Like, she's a good singer, period, and she's a good performer. And I think Fantasia would have gave a better performance than Meg Thee Stallion. Yeah. You know, I mean, maybe she could have used Meg Thee Stallion after the winnings or something. I don't know. But as far as opening or something like that, I think Fantasia would have been a better pick.
Yeah, if you would have had, I don't know, Meg Thee Stallion, like, you know, say some words or whatever, I don't know. But, performing-wise, it just seemed very cringe.
It did.
And to me, like, is, you know, if I'm a voter and I'm in Atlanta or in the Atlanta area or whatever, and to me, it seemed like almost like are we not, because obviously Atlanta has a lot of black people, you know, and obviously she was catering to black people because obviously she was got Meg and got Quavo. So, all right, cool. But like, I felt like if you're bringing somebody like Meg like that to do that kind of performance of all things, it's like, as the president or the people around her, do you think that much of me that you think I'm gonna appreciate that kind of like, okay, like, are you trying to take me serious or do you think I'm into this? Like, I don't know. It just seemed kind of, you know, like, to your point, you know, if she would have brought in someone, I don't know, Alicia Keys or, you know, give me somebody, anybody, like.
She shouldn't have brought in Alicia Keys.
What's wrong with Alicia Keys?
There's nothing wrong with Alicia Keys, but Alicia Keys is not hot right now. Like, she's not doing anything.
But it's not even about that, though.
Well, the whole purpose of her bringing Meg Thee Stallion, because she knows everybody loves Meg, everybody loves Quavo. So she wanted to bring somebody that's going to bring a lot of views, a lot of clout, a lot of traffic, people to pay attention to. So that's probably why she got Meg Thee Stallion. You know, and then you got Taylor and Beyonce is putting on some type of sponsorship or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, together. So she's getting all the empowering women to help her run. So she should not got, if she'd have got Alicia Keys, she's probably going to lose because nobody pitches Alicia Keys. I mean, that's to be honest. Back in the day, maybe a couple years ago, yes. But Alicia Keys is in this chill mode right now.
She was just in the Super Bowl. Like, you know.
And when was the Super Bowl?
This year.
Yeah, but that's all she's done, bro. Like, she's not doing anything else.
I know, but okay, maybe not Alicia Keys, but like, I don't know. I just don't think that, especially if we're supposed to take you serious and you're trying to be about women empowerment or whatever, like, sure. But like, I wouldn't want to the women, quote unquote, that you're representing, like, be on display like that. That's just me. You call me old fashioned, whatever. But like, you know, Fantasia, I don't know about Fantasia either because she ain't done nothing either. Ain't nobody. Is she out here like?
I'm gonna tell you something, brother. I heard nothing. Fantasia is popular right now because not only because of the movie Color Purple, she just came off of Broadway. She's been touring around the world, doing opening acts, and she was in Sonority. So, and she's from North Carolina. She's right here in the South. So she's hot right now. Then she's on the award show. Just came out with the Stella Award show. So Fantasia is doing the thing. So I just felt like for the performance, I think Fantasia, Patti LaBelle, or...
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Anybody who has a soulful... But it's not...
I'm not saying... I don't like those choices. I totally agree with you. I feel like Fantasia would have been a great pick, or even Patti LaBelle, if you want to go that route. That's cool. But if you're trying to say that the reason she picked Meg is because Meg is popping, these are the chicks that ain't popping like Megan is, or Alicia Keys, or ain't nobody talking about, you know, Patti LaBelle. But I get your point that would have been more, a little bit more, what's the word? I guess more conservative or more, more chill
That's
picks.
That's what I think.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think to your point, because Meg is popping and they knew that it was probably going to bring a large crowd as a result, she picked her. But it just looked corny and cringy. Yeah,
very corny.
You know, in terms of a pick. If you wanted to go see it and like be like, yay, okay, all right, cool. But if I'm supposed to be taking you seriously as a candidate, and I'm supposed to be thinking that at any given moment, you've got the codes to the nuclear bombs, I don't want to see Meg Thee Stallion opening up for you. Trying to like convince me.
It just let me know what's on her playlist.
Well, did you see that interview she did with Angela Rye, Kamala Harris? You know who Angela Rye is?
Angela Rye. I don't think I did.
So she did an interview, like a Zoom interview with Angela Rye. And Angela Rye asked her, who was her favorite rapper alive? And she said Tupac. Like Angela Rye tried to say, like, yeah, you know, live on Tupac, but like for real, like, what rapper alive, you know, do you think is the best right now? Granted, you got Wayne, you got Jay-Z, you got, you know, Nas. I mean, you could have picked Drake or what's his name, K-Dot, Kendrick Lamar. She could have picked any of them. But she couldn't even come up with one. She was like, well, I don't want to put nobody out there. Like, and I was just like, this girl don't know. She don't know anybody of these. So, you know, I don't know, man. I have no qualms with her as a person necessarily, but sometimes I feel like she comes across corny. Like comes across as she's like out here like all like hip and into the hip hop culture and this and that. And then like you couldn't name a rapper alive right now. I mean, even like Jay-Z, who's been around forever, you could have just said him. I don't know. It seemed kind of weird. You should see that.
I'll probably go back and check it out. But she definitely be trying to get to the cookout.
Yeah, she's trying to get to the cookout
She's trying to get to the cookout. And if she do get invited to the cookout, she better not bring a potato salad with raisins.
Well, do you think she'll be invited to the cookout? Let me ask you this, because that's another thing that people have been talking about. Like people trying to say, is she black? Is she not? Like, you know, she's like a chameleon, Kamala Chameleon. They call her that because she tries to be black now, but years ago, she was talking about being South Asian and Indian heritage. I don't know. Have you heard any of that? What you think about that?
I think she is who she is. I think she wants to embrace the South Asian culture. But now, since things are different, she's trying to go for the culture, black people. And I think that's why she know what she's doing, or whoever her team is trying to promote her, they know what she needs to do. So they're trying to bring in all these artists. You know, you in Atlanta, you know, you got clips where you stepping, AKAs, you doing all this stuff. You got your green and pink on because you step. So you trying to bring back that culture again that, hey, I am that girl. I'm that chick. Yeah. So don't get it twisted. Yeah, you may see me dressed up in the White House, but I can get it too, you know. So she's trying to switch lanes. I think she's just trying to come off very transparent. She's trying to come off like very relatable. That, hey, this is Auntie Auntie Harris. So yeah, she's trying. Is a little overboard. Yes, I think it is. But I guess she's just trying to do all she can to get the votes, I guess. I mean, you know.
Well, you know, and all politicians, to a certain degree, you know, they'll pander to a crowd.
Yeah, right.
You know, so.
But you can't make it obvious, though. That's my thing. Like, I don't think it's no problem. you trying to do certain things to win the crowd, but just don't make it obvious.
Yeah.
Like every clip you see, and you think it's just you seeing it, but everybody's seeing it because now you see stuff on TikTok, you see stuff on Instagram, you know, and it's all kind of, you know, social media, they gonna tell the truth. You know, you can't hide nothing. So if she says something out of the side of her mouth, out of pocket, years ago before she got in office with Joe, they gonna find it and they gonna post it because now she's on Front Street.
Oh yeah, they've been found it.
Yeah, they gonna
there's some memes out there.
So oh yeah, there's plenty of them, and I think she knows that. Yeah. But overall, at this point, we don't really have a lot to choose.
Yeah.
So
no, yeah. I mean, it's sad.
It's
a sad state of affairs.
It is. I mean, it's like the last of the last, I guess. You know, like it's like going to the mall, and you need to find a certain item, and you go to the clearance rack, and you see this nice shirt you should have gotten, but you didn't get it, and then you think, I'll just come back and get it, and then when you go back, it's gone. So there's a secondary that you know you don't really want. You don't really like it, but now since what you really want is gone, you're thinking, dang, this don't look too bad now because, you know, the price is right. You know, you try to justify that, you know what, I can just get this and make it look good. I feel that's where we at. Yeah. We at the point now. Like,
and it's the wrong size.
And it's the wrong size, but you know what, I'm going to make it work. So we struggling out here in these streets, bro.
Yeah. I don't know how we got here, man. But yeah, That was a crazy situation down in Atlanta. But, you know, speaking of her, you got these other celebrities like the Taylor Swift's of the world that you mentioned that I guess are doing some kind of fundraisers or whatnot.
It's supposed to be.
But when it comes to her, there's a situation. Obviously, she's on tour right now. Taylor Swift is. And apparently, her tour now in Europe, there was like this kid, I don't know, he's like 19 years old, and he was about to commit an act of terrorism during one of the shows at the Taylor Swift concert, and apparently they had to call it off. She was going to do like 3 shows in a row, and they had to call them all off. And I mean, they're talking like 200,000 people were going to be there, like between all 3 days going to those shows. And they call them off because this guy apparently was going to, you know, have a bomb or try to shoot up the place or something. And which is crazy because it makes you think nowadays. It's like, man, it's like, You can't go nowhere these days, and not keep your head on the swivel, because at any given point something, you know, could pop off. You know what I'm saying?
This is the world we live in now. So when, I guess we're at the point now where wherever you go, you got to make sure you find your exit.
Yeah,
and
apparently
pay attention to it.
Apparently had knives and some homemade explosives that he was gonna use during the concert, but I guess they got a hold of him before he could do anything like that. But it's just crazy, man. You know, like, and of course her concerts are like, I mean, they're huge. You know, right. There's like 70,000-80,000 people at a time. So just imagine the headlines of something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll probably just ruin the tour. She'd probably just not even bother. Yeah. Like, what's the point? You know, and
it's scary.
Yeah, it is scary. And like nowadays, I don't know about you, but like whenever I travel or like go to like a bigger venue or whatever, even if it's just like the sister dome here, I'm always looking because you never know.
You never know.
Yeah, and yeah, people got security, places got security, but look, they almost got Trump, and he has Secret Service.
That part.
I mean, so I don't know how safe we are, But anyways, on other news, did you hear about Nelly getting arrested?
Yes.
He got pulled over and apparently he has some ecstasy on him. And his attorney tried to say that the cops tried to set him up and that planted that stuff. I don't know how true that is or not. I mean, knowing celebrities, and I wouldn't be surprised if he did have some ecstasy on him. But when you heard about that situation, what was your initial thoughts?
He must fix him to drop an album.
Really? That's what you thought? I don't know.
Wait, but don't he got Baby on the way with Ashanti?
That's okay. That's what I was thinking. My point was, what I was thinking was like, okay, this guy is like gambling, casino, okay, no big deal. But then you've got ecstasy on you, and then...
Allegedly.
And then you get pulled over, something happened, and then you get arrested. My thing is, let's just say for the sake of argument, that it is true. Like, bro, you got Ashanti, you got a baby on the way. What are you doing? I mean, like, you're what, 50-some years old?
He's not no dad on 50-some.
I can't look it up right now. But I'm pretty sure he's up there. He's older than us.
Of course, yes.
Listen, sir.
He is not no 50-something. Nelly is probably a good 49 or 48. No more than 50. There's no way he's way up in no 50-something.
I'm about to look.
If anybody know in the comments, please put in the chat feed or in the comments how old Ed Nelly really is. There's no way he 50 something. No way. He have to be, because he's with Ashanti and he can't be nowhere near with Beyonce, all those. So Beyonce, Ashanti, Alicia Keys, all those, that group, that generation is probably in the mid 40s, close to 50.
All right, so he's 49.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
50 something is that.
Well, he's 49 years too old to be messing around with ecstasy.
But yeah, but we don't know if that's the truth though. So we can't sit here and say that's what he did. That's what they're trying to say. You know, and you know, again, I feel like sometimes, you know, we think we have problems, that we are going through stuff. But a lot of these celebrities, they're going through stuff as well because, you know, it's hard to stay relevant in a time when you got Taylor Swift, Kendrick Lamar, Megan Thee Stallion, Fantasia, Beyonce. These people are getting all these deals, and people like Nelly, you don't even hear about Nelly. And I think the most you heard about Nelly is because Ashanti's pregnant.
But the thing about it is, even if you're... Okay, if you don't have any music, you know, being put out, then we're likely not going to hear about you. And sometimes, even if we do, if your time is up, like you're not hot anymore, then it doesn't matter how many new records you put out. People ain't gonna mess with it. Now, kind of like we've talked before, he can go on tour still and probably do well on shows. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily by himself. I don't think he can carry a show by himself. But when he can collaborate with other artists and do shows, I think people will still want to, like, you know, rock out to his music. But it's for a certain type of demographics, for certain.
Can you name any of his hot hits?
Hot Out Here, Hot Out Her. That's okay. One of them.
Yeah.
What was that other one?
Air Force Ones.
What was the other one?
I know you had one with Kelly Rowland.
Oh, yeah. No matter what I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had that one.
Yeah.
And they had that one, Andale.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah.
He had that one too.
So he had a lot of stuff with different artists, collaborations.
I mean, he has some hits, don't get me wrong,
but it's not really.
But I think the majority of his hits came off of one, maybe two albums, exactly. And that was it.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
so you really can't have longevity off of that.
Yeah, and I know.
Now he was also, which that show was actually kind of funny. He was on that show, the first husbands or the house husbands of Beverly
Real,
Hills.
Real Housewives husbands of Hollywood or something like
the
that.
The Real Husbands of Beverly Hills or yeah. Hollywood, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember him being on there.
Yeah, that was a pretty funny show, though.
And he used to have some kind of a clothing line or something. Was it Pelly Pell or...
I don't know.
This is back in the day. This is like...
This is early 2000s.
Early 2000s. Like when you had the Summerfest and you had all that stuff going on. And I do remember him modeling. I know he had some type of a do-rag that came out. I think it was Pelly Pell. I really think it was, but I'm not sure though. But anyway, but yeah. He was hot for a moment. Him to be almost 50. Mm-hmm. He looks good for his age. He took care of himself. I know he had... his brother or sister who had sickle cells. And I think either he passed away. Mm. And then
got sickle cell or something?
I think it was sickle cell.
You remember when Tupac said that?
I'm sorry. I don't mean to make fun of that, but.
Do you remember when Tupac said that on that song, Hit 'Em Up? You know that song, Hit 'Em Up, right?
Yeah, Hit 'Em Up, yeah.
Well, towards the end, when he's talking about, I forget who he's talking about, he's like, Don't you want you guys got sickle cell or something?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't
remember. Anyway, it was funny.
Yeah. But yeah, I think he had a sibling, had a illness. I think she ended up passing away. Mm-hmm. You know. So I do remember that situation. So I don't know if that maybe had something to do with his career. Because he was rocking for a while and then he just stopped. You know, yeah. So I think his brother something got sick. Or it could have been his sister, but I think that really would took him out. But
eventually, like everyone, you know, you grow older, especially with artists. Most artists just have a certain shelf life, you know. Yeah. And you got to maximize whatever that is. Some people are just a one-hit wonders, and it is what it is. In his case, you know, he racked up a few hits, but right now he's not relevant like that no more. And I almost expect him to move almost like an elder, like statesman in the game. For example, like the Jay-Z's of the world, the Nas's of the world, the Dr. Dre's of the world, where like they're not just rappers. Now they're freaking moguls. They got all this stuff going on. You're not going to see them getting arrested, you know, freaking on, you know, messing around with ecstasy and stuff like that. So I feel like Nelly, obviously these other cats are a little bit older. They're in their 50s, but he's 49. So I thought that he would start kind of being in that sort of like realm of like more elder statesmen in hip hop community and maybe be more seeing along those lines, like hip hop, you know, royalty, or maybe like moving in those circles, because obviously he's with Ashanti, so she's another one that's been in the culture and been around for a long time, even though she's not really doing anything nowadays. But that's okay. So I just feel like I would expect him to kind of move in that way and not see him like this, but maybe it's all allegedly, so we don't know. But the fact that you're still putting yourself in certain positions where that could happen, I don't know. That's just how I looked at it firsthand. I guess we'll find out more.
Yeah.
But you know, I just feel like people like, because he's from the same era of like 50 Cent. They all came around that same time. And look at 50. Even though 50's a troll and he does, you know, he can be out here trolling people, but 50's a mogul.
I think, to be honest, I think it's really poor management. It's just my opinion.
Poor management of what?
Of the artist. Because if the management and the marketing is not really putting the artists in front line, they're going to dry up. You're not going to see them that much no more. You know, I look at Mary J. Blige. Mary J. Blige is older than all of them. She's in the mid-50s, and she's still relevant today. Like, she's still touring. She's in TV shows. She's doing commercials because she got interviews going on. Jay-Z, I mean, you're always going to hear about Jay-Z. You're always going to hear about Nas. You know, there's a lot of artists that are still, you know, still relevant, you know. It's still popping, like you just said, 50 Cent. He's still popping. You know, he's trying, doing a lot. He got the whole, what do you call it? Power Universe.
Yeah.
This cat done, you gave him a seed. He got a whole forest now. You know, he's giving people jobs. Like, that's huge.
Yeah.
You know, so I really think, look at poor Ja Rule. Poor little fella. I mean, I'm afraid I'm going to go to Chick-fil-A next week, and he's going to be in the drive-thru.
But you know what? he did try that with that he fire tried. Festival.
He did, and poor 50 shut him down. Bought all those tickets, and then nobody showed up. So I mean, like you just said, it just in this culture we have today, in this world we're living in today, it's harder for artists to really do what they got to do. You know, like prime example, I went to Missy Elliott that show, and it was sold out two nights in a row. Saturday night and Sunday. And one thing I like about Missy Elliott, and now she's in the 50s. She is 54 to be exact. Yeah. Busta Rhymes is about the same age. I think Ciara is about 39. She was the youngest one. Then he had Timbaland, he had Monica. But they understand and they are very appreciative that people actually came out and saw them. And at the end, she came out and said, it's hard to do this because it's hard to make it in this world today as being an artist. And you guys out here in the rain, you know, coming and read it, and y'all are really fans. And she loved that. So she was giving people their flowers back for coming to celebrate them and their performance. I thought that was beautiful.
Did you see a lot of Gen Zs there?
Yeah, I seen a lot of mix of the crowd. And I think that's why her music, a lot of her older songs she did, we remember like Super Duper Fly, hit you with the he, hit you with the high. You know, so she went into that era for those, our age group. And then she remixed it and took it to the generation that people understand it now. She mixed the beats. The beats was different. So she took like modern day beats that everybody recognized, music, this funky sound, and put it. And she went to like a little house era, like a little upbeat house, almost like a EDM kind of lifestyle.
Okay.
So she did it, and then it was a 3D concert, bro. Like, it didn't matter where you sit, whether you was up close, if we were behind, in the middle. It was so creative as far as like stunts and stuff, and like how she was coming to the audience. And she actually came out and she was rapping and going around the State Farm Arena at the same time.
Oh yeah.
So it was great. I think she did a great job. And then I think the best part of her just being appreciative that people in the rain, man, I asked, it was pouring that rain.
Oh yeah.
And people showed up and showed out, and it was a real good time. It really was. Yeah. So you got some artists, they still kicking it.
Like, but see, that she ain't got no new album though, does she?
No, she doesn't have a new album, but she do have a couple of new tracks. Okay. I think the last new track that she may have dropped was Where You From.
Okay.
And that came out maybe 2018. Sometime like that, but Busta's still Busta, bro. Like, Busta is like, he's still killing it, you know. And Ciara is still doing good as far as modeling and looks. She got that down pat. But as far as music,
did he do that song that he does with with Chris Brown? He did that one.
He did that clip. I guess that's his iconic signature. Yeah. He does that
signature song.
Yeah,
yeah, that's so cool, yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, speaking of concerts, there's another well-known artist out there that was also on tour. Actually, a group, the Fugees, were also going to be on tour, but they canceled their North American tour. And I think they're still doing their European leg of the tour. But apparently, according to Lauryn Hill, she put out a statement saying that the tour was canceled due to low ticket sales. And, you know, I know we've talked about in the past about, you know, like people ain't got that kind of money these days or whatnot. But my thing is, I don't think
that's the real reason why.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about, because it's like my thing is like she came out to say that it was due to low ticket sales. But from what I understand, I like Lauryn Hill. I mean, she had that great album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, which, you know, to this day is considered a classic. But she's always been known for like showing up super late to concerts and like having people wait for like up to 2 hours. And then also she's had like health issues. Apparently at one time she had a show up in somewhere in Europe and like she passed out during the show and other sort of like health related issues in the past. And some people have been saying that, you know, she can be very hard to work with. And because of all these things, maybe people just don't really, you know, mess with her like that no more. And maybe it did have something to do with low ticket sales, because people have been like exposed to her and be like, yeah, I've seen this before. She comes out on tour and then she never shows up, like 2 hours late. Do you think it has something to do with that, or do you think something else going on?
Honestly, I think she's not relevant enough in this generation that we're living in now.
But again, it's kind of the same way as like the Missy Elliott of the world. You know, she is going on, most of the songs that she's going to do are going to be catered to our generation, or the generation that grew up on the Fugees. And not so much the people now. So I'm just surprised that for the people that grew up with the Fugees, Wyclef Jean, Pross, I'm surprised that there wasn't that much, sales of tickets. And I wonder if it was because of that, of her antics in the past.
I'm not going to say it's from the past. I think what it is, as far as the world we live in now and America, North America, right? We're North America, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
So this side of the world don't have time. We got mortgages due. We got taxes due. We got an election coming up. We trying to rob Peter to pay Paul. You know, we're trying to get food for the family. So,
but Missy Elliott sold 2 shows.
But let me finish. Pipe down. So we're not going to sit here and take our last paycheck and get these tickets. Because 9 times out of 10, you're not going by yourself. You're going to buy 2. So you're not going to go take these tickets, and then you got to travel at least an hour and a half to get where the show is going to be at. And then you got to go work the next day, because it's going to be during the week. It's not going to be like on a Friday night, Saturday night. It's going to end up being probably on a Tuesday night, Thursday night. You got to get there for that event, and then you get there, and then she's 2 hours, 3 hours late. So now I'm upset. I'm texting, and I'm tweeting that, yo, I bought these tickets to go see Lauryn Hill, and the show post started at 9 o'clock. Here it is, almost 11:30. She just not coming on. I got work next morning. So I think what it is, with the world we're living right now, the attention span and North America side, we don't understand that culture that much. Now, I do believe the reason why I feel like she didn't counsel the Europe, because they understand Lauryn Hill. They are used to that lifestyle. They're used to...
What lifestyle?
You know, Jamaicans and Bob Marley. Like, I feel like they embrace their culture more than what we have here, because it's a bigger city, bigger world on that side of the world, I think. So I think here, and I think she knows, like, Lauryn Hill coming here. Now, if she would have came earlier in the years, I think it might have been better, but her being so late, and she got a reputation that she's not going to show up. And she sees it online. So whoever her manager is knows, or marketing knows that, hey, they making fun of you. And if you're going to go, you got to show up. And she see this stuff. And I'm pretty sure she's probably hot in the head.
Well, I think it's probably a combination of things. One, her antics of not showing up on time. And what I think, what I found interesting is that she used to say that the reason that she didn't show up on time is because she felt like the vibe wasn't ready. Her energy needed to be right. And so, for example, if the show starts at 9 o'clock and she doesn't feel like her energy is right for the crowd, then she's like, I'm not going out there until my energy feels right. And if that's 9:30, 10:30, all right, that's when I go and I'll perform my best. But if that's not how the real world works. So yeah, we can't be waiting out here for you.
And that's the same thing you just said in a nutshell, the same thing I just said.
What
you said, the energy. So therefore,
I don't think people in Europe, you know, are going to be waiting around like that either. But I feel like maybe to your point, maybe they see her more of, I don't know, as.
And they love her son.
Yeah.
Her son is a killer, man. Like, who's the one son? Sings that song, Bob Marley. They got a son together. Like, I didn't know she had that many kids. She got like 5 kids. Did you know that? Bro, all her kids are talented.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they are so talented. And I believe to a certain extent, just to give her some grace, we don't know the whole true story of why she was late in a lot of those events and what was going on behind the scenes. All we know is what we've seen in social media. I think sometimes being a mother, she was going through certain things. Her mind wasn't right. I mean, you got 5 children and they were showing the age groups. Like, they're almost like doorsteps. You know, it was one like 5, one was 9, one was 11, one was 14, one was 16. It's like pop, 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 pop. So if you go back and do the numbers, when Miss Education came out, I think her youngest one was born then. And then it was just one after another. So I think at that moment, she was trying to be a mother to her kids. And so it was hard to juggle being a parent and being pregnant. And you got one little one too at the same time.
Now, I wasn't privy to the fact that she had, you know, 5 children.
Oh, yes.
But I did hear that part of the reason why she kind of like stepped away from the limelight is because she was trying to work on her spirituality and on herself. And, you know, that's why you didn't see much of her. And then, of course, you know, when she married, I forget which of the Marleys.
Bob Marley.
No, it wasn't Bob Marley, man. Bob Marley was in the 70s.
It's okay, it was Bob Marley's son.
Maybe it was his son,
I can't think of his name, but I follow him on Spotify.
But did you know that Lauryn Hill and Wyclef Jean dated?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently they dated there for a while. Mm-hmm. And then apparently, part of the reason the Fugees, you know, fell out was because of their relationship and other
things. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of stuff behind the scene, the reason why you take somebody this hot and only put out one album, and that was it.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
It had to be more behind the scene that we don't know why there was only one successful album, that was it.
Yeah.
But I will say, all her children are successful. Like, her daughter is a model. Like, she's in New York Fashion Week. Her son does this. And they all got huge careers. Like, and I feel like, to a certain extent, she kind of put her life on hold just to make sure they, you know, prevail and be great today, you know. Like, I guarantee you probably seen one of her daughters in the modeling scene and didn't know it was her daughter.
Yeah, probably. They are
beautiful. Like, you would never think, like, dang, that's Lauryn's daughter? Yeah. And I was reading the critics and stuff, and they did an interview with one of them, and one of them looked just like Lauryn Hill.
Oh, yeah?
Like from Sister Act.
Huh.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Wow. Dude, man, I'll never forget that song, Killing Me Softly. Man. Now, I remember that song when it came out, and I had no idea who the Fugees was or even Lauryn Hill. But when she sang that song, like, talk about storytelling. And the way she, like, talks about how he's playing her like a guitar. And you can picture all the things and the emotions in that song. And it's like, I mean, that was like when they were at their peak.
Right.
You know, and
what did it for me was Ooh La La La, That's the way we rock when we doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
That track, ooh. Yeah. That track was sick.
Yeah.
The video alone was sick.
And what's crazy is that obviously they all kind of decided to do solo albums. Mm-hmm. Wyclef Jean, obviously, he was, you know, I'll be gone to November. I'll be gone to November.
I love some Wyclef. Now don't maybe put that on when I get out of this deck on podcast. Now, I will.
I might do that on the ride.
I'm telling you, I love some Wyclef now.
Yeah, he was a bad boy. What's back going in the on? Day. Yeah. Now, I mean, Pross had he did all right. But did you know that they were cousins?
I did not know that.
No. Yeah, Pross and Wyclef, they were cousins. But yeah, man. So I don't know. It kind of sucks because when I saw that they were going on tour, I actually thought about it. Maybe buying tickets to see the Fugees. Yeah. I thought about it. But dude, man, have you watched any of the Olympics?
No.
I know you're not really into sports, but it's the Olympics.
No.
You ain't watched nothing?
No.
Nothing at all?
No. Did you hear me?
Come on, bro.
No.
Why not?
No.
I mean, but why though?
I ain't got time to watch them daggone Olympics, bro.
I mean,
I ain't got time to sit here and watch these people across the world. No. I mean, I've seen clips of like certain like parts that was like pinpointed out, but that's it. Besides just sitting down and give me a Capri Sun and popcorn and watching the Olympics, I'm not about that life.
Well, I watched some things. I watched some soccer games and some swimming.
Of course.
Some gymnastics. Not a lot. Some badminton. Man, that's just pretty, you know, pretty impressive, those guys.
And I love that for you.
I'm telling you, bro.
Okay.
But obviously there's a lot been going on when it comes to the Olympics, a lot of storylines, a lot of different stuff going out there. But apparently there's what is it called? This guy named Anthony Armirati.
You got the $250 endorsement or something?
He's this French pole vault.
Right.
Vaulter, I guess that's how you say that.
Exactly. I don't even know what that is, but anytime.
And, you know, they got that big long pole and they try to, like, propel themselves.
Obviously,
and try
to he go got over a long pole, too.
This. Well, apparently he tried to jump over that pole.
Yeah, but the other pole got hit.
And his own pole got in the way.
Yeah.
And he lost that
clip,
the medal.
I did see that clip, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of, hoopla about that situation. And that brings me to our segment. Would you rather?
But he did get some type of a deal out of that.
What do you mean?
Some type of $250.
There was a cam website called Cam Soda or something like that that was offering him $250,000.
Right, and it was something.
But it's like porn. He ain't want
exactly.
Yeah, he ain't gonna do that.
OnlyFans.
Yeah, but they're offering him like $250K. But that kind of goes into my, would you rather segment of the show. So would you rather like win a gold medal, in his situation and be known for a great, pole vaulter, getting the gold in Paris? Or would you rather be known for having this huge slung, you know, at the end of the day that you can, you know.
Gold medal me, please.
You rather have the gold medal?
Yes.
Why?
Because what I have is none of your business.
No, but it's, but.
After that part has seen, so you asked me.
Because those uniforms they wear, you can kind of see, a lot of whatever. So you rather have the medal than be known for the other?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the medal is something I can hang up in my house and I can feel proud about.
Well, the other one ain't going to hang at all.
The other one's already hanging.
No, that's the whole point. It ain't hanging. That's why you either go with the medal or you ain't got nothing hanging.
I'm going with the medal, bro. I want the medal. I want to be able to hang it on the wall and be happy with that.
All right. Okay, cool. I mean, if you want the medal to hang, that's cool. I want my thing to hang, and I'd rather have that. So I'm gonna go with the latter because, that's for life.
Yeah.
I gotta be able to represent at home. I can't.
You're gonna represent.
So okay, what else we got? I got this other a couple more would you rathers. Now these are, you gotta think about these.
Oh God.
And because these are legit. These ain't that easy. All right. Would you rather know the exact date and cause of your death or know the exact date and cause of the death of everyone you love?
Take your time. This is supposed to be fun.
It is fun, but I'm trying to make it, a little deep, make you think a little bit.
That's a no-win situation.
That's why it's would you rather.
I know that, but that's deep. I mean, it's not deep, but that just kind of like, it's heartbreaking because if I know my date about time of death, the real question is, will I tell people that my time is up or I just keep it to myself? But at the same time,
okay,
if I've known your date, are we close enough for me to tell you about yours?
But you don't even have to tell me,
I know.
Yeah.
So it's going to feel weird that, but okay, but let's book this last trip in Las Vegas because I know this time next month you ain't going to be here anyway. So
yeah,
and then I can take advantage of you. Like I can take all your money, your credit cards and stuff. And by the time you go and try to file a complaint, you're gonna be in the basket.
Well, I mean, but we're talking about people that you love, so you wouldn't take advantage of people you love. I wouldn't think so.
No.
But which one would you rather know?
I would rather know
yours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'd rather know mine and deal with it the best way possible. And being in place with myself where I'm complete and check stuff off my bucket list.
Yeah.
And get that out of the way. Spend time with my loved one as much as possible. And try to do what I can with my loved ones around me and to leave a legacy behind, and knowing that they're about to roll the critics. They're about to roll the critics on me. Yeah. So I want to make sure that my life is where it needs to be and everything is in alignment. And not with just my family and close friends, but with God, make sure that where I need to be with him, and then that's it. Set the alarm clock. Let's go.
Well, I feel like I would do the same thing. I think I would want to know, the thing about it is, it's like for me is it's one thing knowing when, but also knowing the cause. Like, dang, like what if it's like some that's the part that, because I'm sure as it, let's say it's like a car accident or something. I don't know. Like the closer it gets to it, I'm sure the anxiety and everything's going to build and you're going to be like, dang, this is. And there's not obviously nothing you can do to avoid it. But at the same time, to your point, I would want to know mine and not others because it would just be too sad.
Yeah.
It would just be too traumatizing to know. Because as much as you want to spend time with your mom, your dad, your sister, in my case, my sisters or my wife or whoever, it would always be in the back of your mind, like, I only have X amount of time. And truth be told, that's the way we should be living, if you want to think about it, because we really don't know. It really could just be tomorrow.
Yeah.
But we always have this mentality that, oh, tomorrow will come. And we always make plans for the future. And that's okay. I mean, we should. But at the same time, we're literally, everyone, all of us are on borrowed time. And the only type of people that I can think of that something like this would apply to are people like, for example, that have terminal illnesses like, you know, cancer and things of that nature, that they have more or less a time frame of how much they have left. So they have time to, you know, get their affairs in order and do the bucket list things and try to leave a legacy, those that can, and spend time with their family members. So, and some people say that as bad as cancer is, in a way, cancer can be a blessing in the sense that it gives you the opportunity to do these things that for a lot of us, we're not going to have. We're just, a lot of us may just be like that. Mm-hmm. And then that's it. You know, my uncle, I don't know if I told you this, but my mom's brother, my uncle, he passed away last week or two weeks ago.
Right.
And I believe he had a heart attack. At least that's what they were thinking. He had a heart attack. And, but I mean, he was still fairly young in his 60s, and it came to such a shock to everybody.
Right.
And you know, but that goes to show you that
life is short.
Life is short. And, so for me, like, I think we should try to strive. We don't do as much as we should. We don't think about it as much as we should, but we should really try to strive to make the best out of every day and try to like maximize our times with our friends, family, you know, make that phone call, try to make that, you know, gathering, like just try to spend time with the ones that you love or whatever, because at the end of the day, that's all we have, you know, and none of this we can take with us.
Right.
You know, true. So, yeah, I think I would agree with you on that one.
Yeah. And I really do hope and pray that, whoever listened to this can hope they can really bring it home to their house and say, you know what? I do have a friend. I do have a family member that I do need to touch. I do need to call. And I'm always saying, oh, I'll call you later on. Well, later on never come.
Yeah.
So don't delay. Just do it now. Like I've learned now with myself, sometimes life does get busy. You get stuff moving. You get so bombarded with stuff coming from left to the right. But I've took the initiative now. Like if I'm in a red light, and if I'm in a traffic jam, I call somebody, you know. And if it's somebody on my mind, a close friend, and it doesn't matter if I haven't talked to them in like weeks or months, I would just text them or call them and just pick up the phone and hope they pick up the phone. And I tell them, I was like, hey, man, you've been on my mind the last couple of days. I just wanted to check on you, you know, see how you're doing. Matter of fact, I just called Larry last week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and just, he didn't know you had a baby. So I told him he's in Virginia right now.
Okay.
And so he's doing good. He's in a good relationship.
Yeah.
And she wants to come to Greenville because he said he already told her about you and me, and he wanted, you know, meet us and hang out. So yeah. And to be honest, he had been on my mind. He really had, and even with another friend. Mm-hmm. So I reached out to him and just let people know, because sometimes people get so in that tunnel and they feel like they just going through the motion with life, you know, working home, and they don't have time to call. And sometimes maybe you got to be that person and say, you know what, let me just text this person and see how they're doing. And that text is coming through their phone could brighten their day.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And so it's definitely something that we all should do a little bit more.
But you know, it's so sad because everybody who I talk to, and they always say, man, I meant to call you. Oh, I meant to text you back. Oh, I was going to get around to it. Oh, life got busy. And I'd be like, oh, okay, I understand. I said, so what you been up to? Oh man, just working and grinding.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's just weird how everybody had the same comeback, or same comment or response. It's like, I meant to call you back. And then when tragedy comes and it hits, now you singing this song like, man, I should have called. I would have called. Gone too soon. You know, now you posting up. Yeah. And that's so weird. I don't know if you noticed about social media, Facebook lately. It's so funny because, well, it's not funny, but I just notice when people die. And now, it's one thing when you have a close relationship with somebody and they pass away. Okay, granted, you're going to like write rest in peace, gone too soon, you'll be missed, that's it. But you got some people will go way out of the way and posting all these pictures on social media about the particular person who's passed away, but you didn't even talk to them. So how in the world can you post up all these pictures and memories of this person that when they was alive, you never spent time with them? You never called them. You never came to any of their celebrations. You never came to any of their parties.
Isn't that somebody you saw?
Oh, I see a lot of that. And then I see a lot of it now. And I see somebody in the comments will respond and say, like, who were you again? And that's all they will say, because they that statement alone, who are you again? That's enough to say, you know what? You weren't even there. Yeah. So why you wait till this person's gone to say all your shoulda, couldas, and wouldas? You didn't give them their flowers while they was living, so don't try giving them while they're dead.
Yeah.
So I just see a lot. And the reason why I say that, because I got a friend at work right now. She during 4th of July, she lost two of her children in a car accident. One was 17 and one was 19, left behind a 14-year-old. You know, so didn't know the last minute, didn't know when it's going to happen, but it was a tragic car accident. Didn't know, the parents didn't know that was going to be the last time she said their kids, gone, just like that. And then a lot of their friends was just posting these pictures of them of like previous years and not knowing that it could be the last birthday, hanging out together, stuff like that. And then some of the comments and the kids was making like, yeah, you're going to be missed. And then somebody commented on that post and said, you'd even hang out with this person. You would just talk about this person badly. So now all of a sudden you want to sing your, oh yeah, you're my bestie. You know, it just weird. Like, you know, but
yeah,
I guess the one point I'm trying to make is that if there's somebody that you need to talk to, whether it's a family member or a close friend, take the initiative and do it today. And don't wait, because tomorrow may not come.
Yeah.
That's it.
I couldn't agree with you more on that one. But yeah, man. Well, I've got one more for you.
Oh God.
And we'll probably end the show on this one. All right. Would you rather be with someone who is amazing in every way, but has a completely opposite political views from yours, or someone who shares your views politically and morally, but has a personality that you find it very difficult to connect with? Take your time.
The first one.
So you'd rather be with someone who's amazing in every way, but you guys have completely opposite views politically. You'd rather have that person than be with someone who agrees with you politically, but you just can't connect with, you know, like emotionally, physically, or whatever.
Yeah.
Because her personality is just
that'd tear me
whack.
Up. That would tear me to pieces. Like, that's like sitting in a room by yourself in the dark, because you can't connect on anything.
And, oh, that's the worst.
And you can't have a team, because whenever you thinking, you should be right there with me, running side by side. So if we are compatible and we know what we talked about and we know what we're doing, then she got your back. But if she doesn't have that because y'all can't connect, then that's draining for.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be?
Yeah, but you know, It's so funny because nowadays, a lot of people will tie their personality to their political views. If you think about it, it used to be back in the day, people would, like, in terms of if they would date you or not, they would look at race, the hot topics.
Right.
They would look at race, religion, and politics. Like, politics was at the bottom of what people thought was important in terms of a mate. Most people chose race, like someone that looks like them, whatever, as a number one thing. The number two was religion, someone that shared their religious background for the most part. And then politics was like a third in terms of what they look for in a partner. But nowadays, it's flipped. Now is your political views is number one. I believe race is still number two, and religion is like at the bottom. So, for example, if you go out with a girl these days and you say you're a Trump supporter and she's a Kamala supporter, she probably ain't gonna date you. She's probably like, nah, you ain't my type, or vice versa.
Right.
So the people's political views has really taken over people's on how they view relationships, which is interesting to me. Even bypassing, to your point, being able to connect on other levels. So to your, you know, to your choice, I would tend to agree with that too. I would rather have someone whose personality I can connect with, and be able to, like, you know, have that sort of commonality and be able to relate to each other. But in some ways, it's kind of tricky because a lot of your personality does kind of, you know, fall or bleed over into some political views. And so that was a little tricky one, but if I had to choose, I'd rather have someone that I can connect with. Because if you can't connect with someone at all, then, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know? It's like we're just, like roommates.
Right.
You know?
Well, I agree with you. At the same time, I think spirituality should be on the top of the list as well, because I need to know who you're praying to, who do you believe in. And when you're going through stuff in life, when life is not lifing, you know, how are you going to make it through? Your faith, you know, that's most important to me as well, because I need to know, can I count on you?
Yeah.
You know, when I'm down and out, or when my best friend is not there, or when my money is getting dry, you know, I mean, how are we going to make it? You know, if I believe that we can come out of this cycle and get to the next level, then I'm going to need you to back me up and believe with me, you know?
Yeah.
So I need to know where you at, where you stand. Like, because if I'm praying and believing in God on this certain particular thing to get to better ourselves, our situation, then I need to know who are you praying to? Because whoever you praying, believing, you asking God, or whoever your God may be, then it could be going against me. So now we're going to bump heads, because I'm believing for us to be on a certain level in life, or when tragic hits, then I may be down. So if I'm down, I need you to, you know, get me back up.
So what if you get, what if you find someone that, like, you know, she loves EDM, she loves, you know, going to, like, festivals and stuff like that. She's a family person. She loves kids, wants a family, you know, single, whatever, gets along with her parents, you know, all of that. You know, knows how to cook, takes care of herself.
I get the point.
But she's like, but I don't believe in God.
She's not for me. Oh, no. I do not want to be sleeping with the enemy. I am not, because you, if, like the old people say, if you lay down with fleas, if you lay down with dogs, you wake up with fleas. So I'm not trying to.
So she's got all this going on for her.
Listen, at the end of the day, I love music, period. And you know that. That's on period. But that is not going to stand. So I know the life we live in right now, as far as the world we going.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to have somebody that know how to pray, know how to believe, and have a faith. Because when two or more come together to agree, God's going to bless it regardless. So if I'm believing on one thing and she's away over in the left field talking about I'm your Nardangegyo, now she'll be chanting on something that's crazy, Buddha, bro, we can't be together. And I don't care if she knows all the house music. She loves black coffee. I don't care if she knows all the latest TikTok dances. She got mad style. She's beautiful.
Yeah,
that was all going to fade away. Because I'm going to need you to know who you believe in, who you stand on. That's the most important thing. Now, if you find me somebody that don't have only some of those qualities, mm-hmm. but have a heart of gold and believe in God and have ambition and goals and dreams, we can make it. We can buy you some looks. We can get you some hair and some weave or tan, color, whatever the case, fashion, period. We can get you right.
Well, you know what they say. You know, they say, you ain't ugly, you just poor.
Who was they?
That's what they say, you know.
Who was they?
That's what people say. It's like, it's not that you're ugly, it's that you're just poor. Because money can buy you, you know.
Yeah. What they say.
Can buy you style.
They said money is the best lotion.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah. But,
that's
yeah,
why my
man.
Skin moisturizes. My skin stay moist.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, man, you got anything else for the people? Anything else? Anything else going on that we need to talk about right now?
No, I just really, really wanted to piggyback. Just really reach out to your people. You know, love on your friends, love on your family members. Don't hold grudges. If there's something you can do to fix a situation, and it's a reason why it's in your heart, it's on your mind. If it keep being on your heart. If it can't be in your mind, maybe that's a sign that you need to step up to the plate and be the bigger guy.
Yeah. And one thing that I do notice, though, is that, you know, especially with social media, like people see you post things or you might see other people post things. And just because they post things, you feel like, they're doing all right or whatever.
No.
That's not always the case.
No, it's not.
And, like, you feel like, okay, well, I already know what's going on with so-and-so. I already saw their post. Okay, I know they did this. I know they did that. Oh, good for them. You know, they did this. They did that. But at the end of the day, you might be seeing what they're posting, but they're not seeing or they don't have no connection to you.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of times that's what happens. We see people's, like, you know, profiles and the posts they put out there. And just because we know that they're out there, we're like, okay, we know how they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need to reach out.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel that way?
Yes, I do. And some people hide behind that thinking that this is their life. And some people get so caught up making their picture perfect, making their thing look good. So they can post it and so people can see it, but at the same time, they are broken inside, you know. But they have the best filter on their photos and pictures, but they're broken, you know. And they want to post it, and then people will see it and thinking, oh, man, Daniel's doing the big. Man, look at him. You know, new whip, new car, you know, but not realize this cat just lost the uncle. You don't know how he's dealing inside. Like, and I've seen that hand on hand with a lot of my friends that's going through crap. But they post pictures and sometimes and let people know that they're living. Yeah, you might be traveling to Bora Bora, but you're running from the problems because you don't have anybody to talk to and you dying inside, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, moral story, reach out to your peoples.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well.
Check in. check in on your people.
Well, thanks again, everybody, for, checking us out today. We're going to try to, you know, do our best to do this weekly, unless we have some, you know, things come up.
Yeah, like, life be life.
Yeah, life is life, but we'll try. Yeah, we'll try to get you guys what you need.
Yeah.
But man, it's been a pleasure, hosting this tonight. And until next time, man.
That's right. And please, please, please comment. Give us your feedback. Give us some of your reviews of what you think of this segment about. Let us know how you feel. Are we hitting something? Or give us some ideas, something you want to hear. Or just give us some feedback, period, about what you think. You know?
All right. Well, peace out, everybody.
Peace. Enjoy your weekend.